Good morning. Let's take a minute and pray together and before we open the Word today. Father, it's my prayer today that as we open your Word, that we open our hearts because your Spirit desires to speak to us and it desires to mold us into the people that you want us to be. As husbands and wives, as children and parents, as grandparents and kids, we just pray today that your Spirit speaks to people's hearts and makes a change and a difference that only he can make. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you what, today's subject has already taken its ribbing. Agnes back here has been on me today about it. Joe Losey basically said, is there anything you could teach me? And so it's one of those subjects, what wives wish their husbands knew. Now, there was a fellow who a few months ago was down in Gatlinburg, and you know, you go in these little trinket stores and you can buy all this stuff, and he looked up on the shelf, and there was this large volume up there that says, What Men Know About Women. And so he pulled it down out of curiosity, and he opened it up, and every page was blank. You know, it's one of those things, guys, isn't it neat how we accumulate all those brownie points? And one wrong word or wrong action can check them all out. You know, we get them all accumulated and think we're doing real good, and then something goes wrong. I think today I'm going to share some things that if you're a married person, you can grow from. If you're an engaged person or newlywed, you can grow from. If you're a kid, you can learn some skills right here today that will help you catch that dream girl. Because I'm going to tell you some things that can help you be the best guy on a date or how to relate to that neat girl at school. They all fall that way. You know, most of us fall into the category of kind of being klutzy when it comes to dealing with women. You know, we're kind of hard-headed. At our house, my wife will ask, did you give it the guy look? You know, we're looking for something, and I said, I look for it, and she said, did you give it the guy look? In other words, you didn't look very hard. You want me to come find it for you, don't you? You know, guys are kind of this. I'm going to tell a story of my buddy Roger. We were at Culver's a week or so ago, and on Saturdays at Culver's, you can get 4 pints of ice cream for $10. An ice cream cone costs you $2.50 there. So we went to the little case, we got our 4 pints of ice cream, and they put them in this case, and they freeze hard as a rock. So we got the plastic spoons, and we began to work on ours. And Roger's over there just working and working and working. And finally, we got where we could get some out of ours after it melted a little bit. And he's still over there just jabbing away at it, trying to get it going. I finally looked over, and I said, hey, Roger, if you took the cardboard off the top, you might get to your ice cream. You know, we all have those moments. I bet people thought, those people are nuts at that table once we found that out. But you know, we have those moments in life where, guys, we just kind of blow it. But today, I hope we can share some things with you that make you a better husband, make you a better boyfriend, make you a better newlywed or newlywed. And you know, I come from a great family. My parents were within 3 months of being married 75 years. And, you know, I have a great legacy with that. And, you know, I'm one of those guys, I try to work on it. I'm going to put in a commercial here. If you're a married couple, no matter what your age, we had some people close to 70 go the last time. February 1st and 2nd is our second annual marriage retreat at Turkey Run State Park. Mark your calendar for that. You know, it doesn't hurt to go. I'm on the remedial program. I've been 8 or 9 times, okay, on marriage enrichment weekends. And I always learn something about myself. I learn something about Christ in my life. I learn something about marriage. So we want to encourage you to do that because we want you to have the greatest marriage that you can have. You see, we're not out to lunch when we wonder what guys think. Sigmund Freud, the great psychologist or psychiatrist, he said, despite my 30 years of research into the feminine soul, I have yet not been able to answer the question, what does a woman want? Let me bring a quick point. There is great joy in marriage. In Christian marriage, there's never a dull moment. There's moments of flatness. There's moments of mountain highs. There's mountains of low and the valleys of low. But as pursuing Christ as a husband and wife, there's never a dull moment because there's the adventure of spiritual growth and dynamics there. You know, we're unique. You know, there's a lot of humor that relates to being husbands and wives. A man doesn't hesitate to pay $2 for something that's worth a dollar if he really wants it. On the other hand, the wife will pay a dollar for something worth $2 even if she doesn't want it. A woman marries a man expecting to change him, and a man marries a woman hoping she never changes. Well, today, we're talking about things that can help us grow our marriage. What do you really wish your spouse knew about you? And we've talked about families, and we realize in our age today, families are in trouble. And so, whether you grew up in a healthy spiritual home, whether you grew up in a dynamic home where marriage was put high on a pedestal and growth, no matter where you're at, we want you to learn something today that can make what you have even better. Here are five ways husbands can improve the quality for their lives and their marriage. Now, next week, I want to see y'all come in with a smile on your face, okay? Because you've applied several of these. First of all, wives want us to be provided for. I didn't realize this until a few years ago. I had a lady over at Union Church, and she had remarried after her husband died. And she came to me one day and she says, you know, it's such a blessing to be married to so-and-so. I loved my first husband, but he changed jobs every year or two. He would do something wild and crazy. He says, I just never felt the security that I feel today with a man who's been in the same job 40 years, who is just like clockwork with what he's doing. That security means something to me. You know, women like financial security. They don't like surprises. Steve Chapman from Steve and Annie Chapman tells a story. He's an avid hunter. A good book to get, guys, is The Good Husband's Guide to Balancing Hobbies and Marriage. That's a great book. Opening chapter, he shares the story right before deer season. He goes to town. He lives down by Nashville, and he went to town, and he came back in that day, and he had under his arm a dozen new arrows. You know, pretty feathers on him, and he's coming in, and he's walking in the door, and Annie says, what you got there? Sounds like a teenager. Arrows? Oh, those are nice. Yes, they are. And she's thinking about the corner of the garage where he has a paper drum full of arrows. And she goes, didn't you have arrows? Yes. But I thought these were really neat, so I bought them. They had camouflage. They had all these things on. A few weeks later, they're out shopping, and it's close to Christmas time, and she's over in these ornaments that cost like $30 or $40 a piece Christmas ornaments. And he looks over, and on her finger, she has two or three dangling there. And he walks up and says, what do you have, Aunt? I have arrows. They have an equal spending program. If he spends $100 on something, she gets $100 to spend on something else. You know, so they have that equal spending thing. You know, I've had guys come out and say, hey, look what I went to Springfield, Missouri and bought, and they brought a new Bass Tracker home. I said, was your wife with you? No, I just surprised her when I got home. Guys, that doesn't go over well in most households because financial security is important to a wife. They don't want to wonder where the next house payment's coming from or whether you've paid the electric bill or not. It puts a real stress on a relationship. They get anxious when their family's needs aren't met. Let me tell you what, the majority of arguments in a marriage are over money. whether it's men or women. Women think more things make them happy. And men are always working harder to accumulate more. In order to keep that security there, keep them in the loop. I know at our household, as we've been getting closer to retirement, every once in a while I mentioned Wilma, I said, I want to sit down and show you how this all works. How the dividends pay and the interest pay and all that. We need to have that discussion a little bit more. And she'll say, I trust you. I know she does. But hey, what if I checked out today? Maybe she wouldn't know where to find everything. If you're a young person, do a budget. Do a budget. That's the easiest way to stop a lot of arguments, where you get a little allowance, you make sure your bills are paid, and you begin to accumulate. Now, I'm a known saver. And it always kind of bugged my wife that I had a rat hole. When I do weddings and funerals, I have a little thing called the rat hole, and I put money in the rat hole. And she would always say, you've got a rat hole. Little did she know that for years, when she got a $100 check for working an extra day, I put that check in a special bank account for her. And she has thousands of dollars that now she doesn't want to spend. That I kept putting back. I said, take it and go do a trip with one of your friends. But, you know, we save a little bit. Now, I always tell, this is a good hint for kids. I emptied the jug this week. We have one of those 5-gallon water jugs. And I wanted to be able to tell you what the jug had. And I can't tell you when I emptied it the last time. But every day when I come home, I throw my change on top of my dresser. And every 2 or 3 weeks, I'll put it in the jug. Hey, Wilma, we can go to West Terre Haute and back. I had $383.16 in the jug when I took it in this week. We're going to go on a vacation. What's that going to do? That's going to pay for our meals on a vacation and probably most of our gas. But, you know, keeping a rein on your finances keeps a marriage stable. Timothy says to us in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, he says, but those who don't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the truth faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. So we need to be giving our wives something stable financially to stand on, because that's going to make our marriage more secure. Secondly, women want us time committed to them. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16 says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Wives want to be the center of attention. Remember when you were dating? I could not wait to get home from Lincoln Christian College. I would stop in Terre Haute before I came to Brazil because I wanted to see Wilma. And that whole weekend was centered around ministry and centered around her. We need to keep that same spirit alive as we go through our marriage. Plan a date night. Doesn't have to be a whole lot. We were not really financially fixed, and we did the $20 date. That was our quote. We do the $20 date every month or so. We'd put the kids in bed, go pick up a babysitter, go to Outback and eat Thunder from Down Under, you know, that chocolate thing, order one of those and split it. And we wouldn't spend $20. And we lived within our budget, and we had a special time just for each other. Now, I want to commend Brian. You're up there. Brian somehow did something neat this week. He was in town shooting a commercial for WTHI. And I saw him. I said, you off day? He goes, oh, no. He said, I just had a minute, and I stopped in to see Carrie. You know what? You racked up some points, man. Because he took just a few minutes of his time to share in a special way with his wife. I used to do that for women when I was at Union, and she was teaching school. She never refused me. I would open up the door to her classroom and say, would you like to be rescued? And we would take off and go to lunch real quick. She had a 30-minute lunch hour, but it was 30 minutes of time. You know, work on a project with your spouse. Work on something to make your life better. Take a class together. Now, here's something for dads. rescue her from the kids. My dad used to do this with me, with my mom. Every time he went to Dick's Lumber here in town, he always said, "Mark, you want to go to Dick's?" I loved it because they would let me play in the nail bin. You know, they had the big bins full of nails and that hook, and I could pull nails out, and I always clean my mess up, so they let me play in the nail bin. The dad would get me away from mom for a half hour. It's important to give mom some freedom. I'll brag on my son-in-law. He does this quite regularly, but they were at our house to celebrate his birthday Tuesday evening, and my daughter teaches, he teaches, and it got to be late, and she had something she had to do, and he says, "Hey, I'll take the kids home, and I'll get them their bath, and I'll get them in bed." You know, that's great that he gave mom that little break. Invest some time in it. Take short getaways. We always used to go to Patty's Restaurant in Grand Rivers, Kentucky. Stayed a little bed and breakfast. It was 3 hours away from home. We got a three-hour drive in a car each way to talk and visit, and a weekend together. So give them time. Secondly, they need to know that, thirdly, they need to know that they are loved. And we're going to get in here. Hopefully that page is in here. I can probably preach it without it, though. It says in Ephesians, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." Now, that may even mean go shopping. Let's see. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or blemish. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself." What does that mean? That means sacrifice. That may be go shopping. Yeah, let's flip that slide up about shopping. But guys, we shop different than women. There are two people going shopping, the husband and the wife. He's going to the Gap to get him a new pair of pants. He goes in to the Gap. You see, he's the blue line. He's in there 6 minutes and spends $33. If you're going shopping with your wife, guys, and we know this is a sacrifice, she wants a pair of pants too. But it takes her 3 hours and 26 minutes. She goes to Macy's, Penny, The Gap, and Sears and spends $876. Sometimes we have to sacrifice and get drug along. I am so thankful that stores have sit-down chairs for husbands because they know by giving the husband a place to sit, the wife's going to spend more money. But spend that time with them, maybe sacrifices. Women need to know that they are loved and respected. Loved and respected. You know, sacrificing may mean going to a restaurant where you really don't like to go, but you go anyway and you let her have whatever she wants on the menu and you find something that you'll hang on to and survive with. Sometimes we have to put our agenda on hold in order to love our wives. You need to ask ourselves, would I be the one who would risk my life to run into a burning building and save her? Would I be willing to sacrifice to do that? Women need to know they're respected, we said. And 1 Peter puts it this way, "Husbands, in the same wise, be considered as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as a weaker partner or vessel and heirs of the gracious gift of God." He calls her a weaker vessel. That's not a derogatory comment. It's a fact of life. Treat her like she's a porcelain pot instead of one made out of cast iron. The porcelain pot needs gentle care. The cast iron, when you can drop it on the ground and nothing will happen. But he says, invest in your wife with gentleness. You say, how can I do that? I want to share with you five love languages from Steve Chapman. And these work not only with your wife, they work with your kids. My wife used these to get children in the public school system to respond in a positive way. Let's talk about this. First of all, there are five love languages. Tell her that you love her by giving her gifts. Now, that's pretty easy, isn't it, guys? You know, some of us find it real easy to give gifts. And guys, gifts don't have to be extravagant. In the next 2 or 3 days or week, out along the highway, you're going to look along country roads. Those little white daisies are going to start popping up in the ditches. And boy, I'll find if there's a patch right under I-70 and Tabor Town Road. And I'll hop out there and get my pocket knife out, and I'll make my wife the biggest bouquet. And she thinks that's neat. You know, because she gets flowers every time I do a funeral. But the fact that I stopped along the road, took time, and it cost me nothing other than 30 seconds to run out there and take the pocket knife and pick a nice bouquet of flowers for her. Give her a gift. Some women like to receive gifts, and we're going to tell you, you're going to have to discover your wife's love language. Not all women, gifts don't mean a whole lot to them. But one of these five things we'll speak to them. Let's go. Acts of service. Some women know you love them when you do special things for them. It may be just stopping and checking your car to see if it's low on gas and driving it over to the gas station and filling up with gas or taking it and washing it. It could be, heaven forbid, my wife knows when I'm getting, I wash dishes like a bird in a bird bath. She knows when I'm going to do dishes because off comes the shirt and gets hung on the chair because there's going to be water on me and everywhere else. But it may be just cleaning the table up or doing the dishes. And the key to that is doing it without being asked. Acts of service. Let's go on to the next one. Quality time. Quality time is important in our busy world today. And maybe you need to take, and most people here, you need to have a techless night. I typed that in this week, and it came back as a misspelled word, techless. I made that up. But there needs to be a time when you come home, and the TV shuts off, the computer goes blank, the cell phone gets put away, and you just spend time together. Quality time. Maybe take a class together. Go to Clabber Girl and take a cooking class. Or spend some quality time with her just by doing something she likes to do, like go to farmer's market. Let's go on to the next one. Physical touch, other than sexual. Some women like to know that you are in close proximity to them. Whether it's just reaching over and holding her hand, or when you know she's been in the flower bed digging all day, grab her from behind and give those shoulders that treatment. A peck on the cheek, just to let her know you're there to support her. Just that she knows that you are near and you care about her. Some women like that. And the last one is words of encouragement or words of endearment. We know what the wrong words do. But when she has her small group over, and everybody's cleared away, and you look at her and say, man, you did a great job cooking tonight. Even better, compliment her in front of her friends. From the heart, not just to make talk, but words of encouragement. You know, thanks go a long way, or you did a good job, or you were fantastic at this. Those are all ways of expressing our love to our spouses. Let's go on to the next point. Number two here. And notice we're going in reverse. Communicate with us. Communicate. Women have a deep need for communication. They have a need to be listened to. Christian counselor says the most complaint that comes from marriage counseling is, my husband does not listen to me. If we went a little bit farther in Ephesians there, it says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife when they will become one flesh. Not just talking about physically, but a woman and man are to develop a closeness. Women desire us to be emotionally involved with them. You know, here's the problem. Here's our problem, guys. By nature, we are fix-its. Our wife comes to us. She's telling us all this story. And we began to say, if you only did this, or if this only happened, we want to fix it for by our nature. We need to ask her, do you want me to be a listener or do you want me to be a fixer? Because 9 times out of 10, she just wants someone to talk to. And we've all heard this word, don't turn me off while I'm talking to you. We've all heard that. She is looking for someone to share the play-by-play of her day with, the good and the bad. You know, we're kind of like teenagers, guys. Our wife asks us, how was your day at work? And you go, okay. Kind of like when you ask our teenagers, what are you doing? Nothing. We're kind of the same way. And you ask her how her day went, and it goes into a play-by-play. Because she wants the smallest detail that's important to her for you to know that. So, be a communicator. Be a listener. And you'll be a better husband. And the last one is, women are looking for spiritual leadership. They're looking for men that will step up to the plate and honor God by the way they live their lives. That's why we put such an emphasis on men here at First Christian Church in Brazil. We know that if a man gets committed to Christ in his church, the rest of the family is going to follow right along behind. That doesn't say that you have to be teaching a Sunday school class, doing this or that or all these other things. It means that you must be living for Christ as your number one priority. Now, we've had a lot of laughs today because we see ourselves, don't we? We see our stories. And there may be people here who are on their last thread, hanging on to that marriage. Maybe a person who suffered a tremendous hurt of betrayal or whatever's going on in your life, in your marriage. And that's serious business. But no matter where you're at, God's able to work in your life. David only had a smooth stone, but he slew a giant named Goliath. Moses had a rod that he could throw down and it became a serpent. But God took those only things and did great things. And he can do it in your marriage and in your relationship. If you're a girl and you're dating, look for a guy that's doing these things. If you're a guy and you want to get that gal and you're dating, apply these principles to your relationship. If you're a husband and you want that relationship to grow and last through the years, put them to work. It's never too late for God to turn things around. Let's take a minute and pray together. Father, it's my prayer today, our wives want us to be your men. But today, maybe somebody's struggling in that marriage relationship. Maybe some lady feels she's doing it all alone and she wants us to pray for a spouse. No matter what's going through people's hearts and minds today, it's my prayer that you would help us as men learn to communicate, learn to love, learn to sacrifice, learn to give. so that we can make our marriage the best it can be, that we can build our spouse up to be the greatest person that she can be, that our children, our grandchildren see God living and working in our lives. It's my prayer today as we close that if someone has a need or a hurt, that they know we as a church will stand behind them to pray for them and to get them the help they need to save their marriage. We just pray it in Christ's name.